Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday Night Bible Study. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you on another Wednesday Night Bible Study, saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday Night Bible Study. First of all, our cities and states and our countries near and far, as well as those called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, any questions you may ask, or just plain and simple your comments on how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you as well. We'd just love to just be able to just to say hi, whatever it may be. So join in the conversation as we get rolling tonight here with the Gospel Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study. And we're going to have Ruth roll us out right with a word of prayer as we get rolling tonight.
All right, Lord, we love and praise your name and thank you for all your help lately. We've been working hard, but you know you're always with us. And praise you, bless your name for the program, and hope everybody has a good time. Love you, praise you, Lord. Amen.
All right, and now we're going to get rolling out with some good music for you tonight. We hope everybody enjoys as we get rolling out here with the Wednesday Night Gospel Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless, and here, let's roll out.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm altered, doubt, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left. I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering. Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water,
my God's gonna trouble the water.
The water,
and
see those children
God will make a way. I know that he will. I've seen it and he will. Oh, God will bring you out. I know that he will. I've seen it and I know he will. If you just let him make a way.
Oh, Home.
Want to remind everybody that's called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments or your prayer praises, prayer requests, and just let us know how we're doing. Also, if you do not wish to have your voice on the air and just a little bit shy, you can also do those same things via email by contacting us at one of our email addresses. Either feelandtouchking@gmail.com, that's F-E-E-L, like you do with your fingertips, feel, and then the letter N as Nancy, then touch, like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, then king, like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com, feelandtouchking@gmail.com, or sixeyes6@gmail.com, that's S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write Wednesday Night Bible Study, and we will not only read it, but get back in contact with you. Amen.
7 days a week of what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture. 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
Started from humble beginnings in a basement, Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs, the Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you.
And now it is time to go into our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, and we are going into Luke chapter 1, verse 19. Luke chapter 1, verse 19.
And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to shew thee these glad tidings.
All right, and one more time, Ruthie.
And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to shew thee these glad tidings.
And that is our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Luke chapter 1, verse 19, Luke chapter 1, verse 19, which tells us about how Gabriel was telling Zacharias, who is John the Baptist's father, the glad tidings of John the Baptist's birth just before the birth of Christ. So we find that Luke chapter 1, verse 19, our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. Amen.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. And we're having a great time here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, where all you got to do is get your praise on without leaving the house, just like you do on Sundays, for a great time. Anytime, just call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press the number one, join the conversation as we keep rolling here on the Wednesday Night Gospel Six Eyes Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Every Wednesday night for Bible study, we have a great time. Amen.
Trying hard to break, and every time he thought it got better, he would make another mistake. Though he knows he's far from perfect, he is trying to live right. He asked me to ask you, Father, would you hear his prayer tonight? He said, tell him that I not so good lately. Then I told her, girl, you know, you can always talk to me. She said, these days haven't been so happy, haven't had much peace of mind. Now I know that I should be praying, but I haven't had much time. So could you tell me
monitor here. Emily is on the bus now on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible Bus. And Ruthie, you better watch out for that gossip. She'll get you.
No, I'll just 6-6 on her if he's on the board.
Not tonight so far, Em. But, hey.
I'm trying to be good. I'll see how it goes. You know me.
No gossip there, Ruthie.
Hey, if I can't gossip on the bus, neither can she, so. Yeah.
Hey, we gotta have fun, y'all. We love each other. We still have fun, though. That's cool.
Amen.
Ken.
All right.
Before I called in, I got a long-distance call from Charlotte, North Carolina, from my son-in-law.
Uh-huh.
Asking for prayer for his aunt, who was placed in ICU this afternoon at 4 o'clock. He has no details to it.
Okay, well, hey, the nice thing about the Six Eyes Bible Network and the Six Eyes Radio Network is we have a longer reach than even they do, and you do, because yours was just from Carolina. Ours is around the world, and we got listeners from all around the world that can join in for prayer, and we will take that request and keep it in mind out there. So you heard it right here on the Six Eyes Radio Network and the Wednesday Night Bible Study right here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, that request. And that's all it takes, folks. Call in 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number 1 and just give us your prayer request, prayer phrases, whatever it takes. And if you got a prayer request, we'll gladly hear it and then pass it on. Or if not, as we gave earlier, the email addresses, which you can also do, and then we could get your prayer request right here on the air if you're too shy to dial the number and get your voice on the air. Amen.
Hey, Ken.
Right.
Kenny, just to let the listeners know, also be praying for me, because this coming week I've got to get a hemoglobin level done before they can go on with my cancer treatment.
Okay. Well, while we're doing a little bit of praying, why don't we play another song here for you? Sound like a plan?
Let's boogie.
A song that everybody knows, and I think you could sing along with. How about a little Amazing Grace?
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now bright shining, shining.
grace, then we perfect will be good.
Bibles to Matthew 6, the 19th chapter, as we begin today what I believe will be one of the most exciting and life-changing sermon series ever preached from the pulpit of Cornerstone Church, the Lord's Prayer. We began with the fatherhood of God. The very phrase means that God is a father and that he has a family. Some of you are in that family, some of you are not. You get into that family by a conscious decision. But when you say our Father, and you are in the family of God, you are talking about an infinite God of unlimited power, grace, mercy, who's available instantly the moment you call him. He can move mountains and divide seas just for you. And all you have to do is say, our Father. Say that with me. Our Father. The second sermon, our Father, the face of God, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done. This is a prayer that can be said in 30 seconds. It's the most quoted prayer in the world and the least understood. The secret to the supernatural power of God is locked in the words of the Lord's Prayer. When the 12 disciples discovered the power of the Lord's Prayer, they crushed the Roman Empire. If 12 men can crush the Roman Empire with the concepts of the Lord's Prayer, surely 20,000 of us could conquer this city for Jesus Christ. The disciples stood one day on the deck of a ship in the midst of the raging sea, terrified for their lives. And they heard this Nazarene say, peace be still. And instantly the waters became smooth. One day they picked up 12 baskets full of fragments. After they started with the boys' sack lunch, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How did that happen? They saw blind people healed. They saw lepers and demon-possessed healed and released by the supernatural touch of this gentle Nazarene. They saw the burden of guilt drain from the faces of people after he forgave them of their sins. Some of you need to experience that. They watched in stunned amazement as a dead man walked out of his tomb, unwrapping his grave clothes with 3 simple words, Lazarus, come forth. Then it happened. Jesus told them that he was leaving them. And he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And that's God's message to every Christian in this room and every Christian watching across the nation and the nations of the world. As God the Father sent Jesus Christ, who was the light of the world, so he sends each and every one of you as a torch of truth. in a nation that has lost its way, and in a world that is upside down. Surely, those disciples thought as they heard that, he cannot expect us to do these impossible miracles. And then Jesus said in John 14, greater works than these shall you do. That was just simply off the chart. Was he going to teach them the secret of his power? The answer was yes. And then they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's the golden key, entering into the supernatural power of God. When you say, Our Father, and you are God's child, you have a golden key that unlocks the chambers of heaven. And God the Father sits on the other side and says, Command ye me. That's in the Bible, by the way. Command ye me. Some of you are in this audience. You are stressed and troubled about the unknown, about your future, with burdens that you're carrying, crises that you're facing. You have a Father in heaven who's waiting, listening for the sound of your voice. Tell me what you want. And the moment you say, Our Father, and specify your need, angels come to the earth and instantly begin to defend you, to provide for you, to make a way for you. How many of you would like for the supernatural power of God to be released in your life today? Let me see your hand. It's as quickly, as done as quickly as saying, Our Father, which art in heaven. Read with me, Matthew 6:9-15. Ready? After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, let us hear the thoughts and let them sink into our souls, that we become warriors for Christ in a world that has forgotten you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said, Praise the Lord. You may be seated. When you say, Our Father, that instantly means you are a member in the family of God. It means you are discovering the meaning of family. Jesus prayed one of his final prayers that went like this, Lord, that they may be one as you and I are one. Let them discover that they are family. The tragedy of denominations in America is that they build walls against the identity of the family of God. They assume that they have the better market than anyone else. All you really have to do to be in the kingdom of God is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are one family under God. When I was attending John Reagan High School in Houston in the middle 50s, it was my privilege to work at a beautiful orphanage that did a great deal to heal the broken hearts of young people that had been wounded by parents. Visitation day was Friday at 5 o'clock. The children would gather at a cyclone fence, and they would cling to it as they watched with anticipation of every car that was coming, hoping that it would be an aunt or an uncle or someone that would take them for a weekend of a family outing. I was watching Joe. He was about 8 years of age. He was a newcomer to the home. His first week, he went to the cyclone fence, and he stood with the other children. His face was filled with hope and expectation. One by one, the children were taken, and no one came for Joe. I watched him as he turned from the fence. His shoulders were drooped. His chin went on his chest. Tears were draining down his face. I put my arms around him and held him tightly. and his sobs shook his whole body. I still hear him to this day. He said through his tears, gasping for breath, "Mr. Hagee, I just want to belong to somebody. I just want to belong to somebody." And we walked to his cottage, knowing that nobody wanted him that day. Family means you belong to somebody. I want you to look right. Look to your right. That's the wrong right. Look to your right. Look to your left. We are the family of God. We belong to each other. White, black, brown, all shades in between, rich, poor, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. We are God's children, all of us. What is the definition of a family? Tragically, America is losing the visual grasp and the reality of a traditional family. It's impossible for America to function as a society when there is no authority of a father in a home, where there is no love of the parents for the children. If they do not learn discipline at home and do not learn it at the school, they will learn it in a penitentiary. It's impossible for this country to continue when 60 million of our children have been murdered in the wombs of the mother in something called freedom of choice, which is actually abortion. When 13-year-olds are having babies, when 15-year-olds are killing each other in the street, when 17-year-olds are dying with AIDS, when 18-year-olds are getting high school certificates of graduation and they can't read them, when thugs are running the streets playing knockout and trying to injure some helpless citizen, if we don't rediscover the principles of the family, this country is going to collapse. We can't build enough jails and penitentiaries to hold the little hoodlums that we didn't teach at the house. The future of America is not going to be determined by politicians in Washington. The future of America is going to be determined by parents in the home, by people like you. Those of you in this audience and those of you watching by television across this nation and the nations of the world, I want you to hear this. You either going to teach your children the law of God or they're going to be raised by the law of the jungle. If you don't take charge of their lives, the thugs in the street will. Washington, D.C. is not the hope of America. The hope of America is that there is a sweeping revival of moral and spiritual values, that we are willing to fight for the traditional family, that we're willing to stick our chin out and say, yes, I believe in this. Yes, I believe in a man marrying a woman. Yes, I believe in children obeying their mother and their father. Yes, I believe there's a right and a wrong. Yes, you should honor the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your body. We can take America back one heart at a time, one home at a time, until secular humanism has been crushed. When our Father which art in heaven comes back to the White House and comes back to the schoolhouse and comes back to the church house and comes back to your house, then America will survive. But until then, we're going to continue to stumble around like Mr. Magoo, with a foreign policy that's chaos, with a domestic policy that's producing nothing but hoodlums that are going to jail because they don't know the discipline of a father and the authority of the home. All some of you have ever known as a dysfunctional family. When I mention the word father, you cringe because you see Father God through the prism of your earthly father. Your father was never there for you. When you hear the word, you feel bitterness, you feel anger, you feel betrayal. because maybe some of you were abused by your father. Here's my portrait of the family. It's not a roof that keeps out the rain. It's not four walls that keep out the cold wind. It's not the floor that will support the tottering steps of an infant or of an aged member of the family. It's not a door that welcomes friends or a barrier that keeps out enemies. What I've just described is a building. A family is the picture of a mother cooking dinner for someone she loves. It's the laugh of a baby. It's the strength of the father. And I mean the father's authority saying yes and no. It's the warmth of loving hearts. It's the light from happy eyes. It's kindness, it's loyalty, and covenant love on parade. Family is where people sacrifice their will for the benefit and the will of everybody else in that house. Home is the first school and the first church that I ever attended. My parents didn't send me to school to learn to read the Bible. I read the Bible at home. I didn't go to school to learn to pray. I knew how to pray when I got to school. I learned from my parents what was right and what was wrong, what God would accept and what was not acceptable to God. Family is where you go for comfort when you're hungry or sick, when you've been battered and bruised by the world, when you've been chewed up and spit out. Your family will open the very gates of heaven and welcome you in. They will anoint your wounds with the oil of gladness, and they will wrap their arms around you. And those arms will feel like cords of steel, holding you together in a day of trouble. Family is where joy is shared and sorrow is erased. Our family will be glad for your success. They will be delighted in your promotion on the job. They will be proud that you made the honor roll. They may be shocked, but they will be proud. They will buy every newspaper on the stand because you're the high school hero, or you're the basketball star, you're the businessman of the year, you're mother of the year. Family is where fathers and mothers are respected and loved. They are never addressed by their children as old man or old lady. Let me tell you something. If you've got a kid that's got a mouth like that, you need to give them an attitude adjustment that begins at the gluteus maximus and totally impresses the cerebral cortex until they dump that word. With advancing years, they're not shuffled to the sidelines to be ignored. They are family, whether they're in a wheelchair or they're reclining in a couch, too feeble to sit up erectly. They are there because they belong. They are your family. Families where children are wanted and considered a blessing of the Lord. They're not looked upon as an inconvenience to my career. They're not looked upon detestably because they might ruin the high school figure of the mother. They are angels unaware, God says, that he sent to us for a few days to shape and mold their lives and then release them into society to be a force for good. Families where the simplest food is good enough for kings because it has been earned with the sweat of an honest day's labor. Family is where money is not as important as loving kindness. Family is where even the tea kettle sings for joy, where one man loves that woman and that woman loves that man. There, the very angels of heaven descend to listen to the symphony of the soul, because that's the sweetest music that heaven hears, coming from a family that's united one for all. Family is where the children love that man and love that woman, and their love is returned. That's what a family is. May God bless it, and may God preserve it in the United States of America. So I ask you two questions. Is there a family in your house? Or is your house a war zone where self-centered, self-absorbed people are in constant battle with each other? And the second question, are you in the family of God? There are those now in the pulpits of America who are saying that the Father of God is universal. We're all saved and we just don't know it. Let me tell you, that's an absolute false doctrine. There's not a word of truth in that. We are all God's creatures, but we are not all God's children. You're not God's child until you accept Jesus Christ. The Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven," but when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he said, "You are of your father the devil." So there are two fathers in Scripture. Our Father which art in heaven and the Prince of Darkness. Paul said it this way, "You are either a slave to Christ, a servant to Christ, or a slave to sin and Satan. You're either in the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness right now. I don't care that you're a moral person. I only care this. Have you acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life?" Why? Because Jesus the Son said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the light of the world. I am the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I am the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. If you want to walk in light, follow me, because I am the only light." Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Our Father means that God is first. When God is first, everything else in your life falls into divine order. When God is not first, you have chaos. And God is not the author of confusion. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Just stay with the Alpha for a while. He's the first, and he's the last. He spoke the first words in the book of Genesis. And in the Revelation, he's going to have the last word. The last word is not coming from Russia. It's not coming from Iran. It's not coming from Washington. The last word is coming from God the Father. "I will establish my kingdom that shall never end." That's God's last word. The Ten Commandments put God first. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Your prosperity begins with first fruits. You don't give God what's left. You give God what's right, and that's the first fruits. You give to him first. He's either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. The Lord's day is on the first day of the week. Our Father which art in heaven is first, or he's not your father. He's not among the gods. The Bible says, "Behold, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Listen to the fools of history who refuse to recognize our Father which art in heaven. There's Pharaoh sitting on a golden throne with a crown of gold that has a cobra circling around his head, prepared to strike. He's looking at Moses in his shepherd's garb and said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" He found out when the walls of the Red Sea collapsed on him and his army, and his bloated body floated to the surface, and his sightless eyes stared into the heavens to a God he never listened to. The gods of wood and stone that he served could not help him now. There's Noah saying, "I'm preparing this boat because our Father which art in heaven is about to destroy the world." The newspaper carried Noah as a right-wing lunatic who was a hate-monger, looking into the future with all kinds of dread and fear-mongering. Noah was a father listening to the voice of God and preparing a way of escape for his family. You are a father. This book says something great is about to happen that's going to change the world forever. Are you preparing your family? What is that? The Bible says the trump of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We which are alive shall remain and shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. You may be getting your body, your son ready for the university. You may be getting him ready for a lot of things. But the thing you better get him ready for is the trump of God and the rapture of the church. The King is coming with all of his power and glory. Get ready for him. Our God is almighty. Your Father has all power. Our Father which art in heaven is all-knowing. He's a God of might and majesty. He is the God of grace and truth. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God who never changes. Truth does not change with time. It only becomes more true. He holds the seven seas in the palms of his hand. He is a God that made covenant with Israel 3,500 years ago that the land belonged to the Jewish people. That covenant still stands. The Jewish people do not occupy the land. They own the land because God never changes and the covenant holds. Our Father which art in heaven has said so. Give the Lord praise in the house of God. Our Father in heaven has mercies that are renewed every morning. And I thank God for that verse. I mean, he cleans the slate every night. Let's just start over. Because a righteous and a holy God, there is no way that we could ever approach him in our humanness. But we have an advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ, our high priest, who goes to the Father and says, Lord, your people are calling your name. And in that instant, heaven responds with a supernatural force that calms the seas, that conquers sickness and disease, that brings peace in the midst of the storm, that brings hope to a heart that's broken, where dreams have been crushed. The Creator of the universe comes in and takes the scrabble of your life and puts it together again to make it a masterpiece. Our Father which art in heaven makes all of that happen. Give him praise. Praise in the house of God. Our Father's personality. Don't try to think of God in heaven through the prism of your earthly father. No matter how good he is or how bad he was, they're just too far apart. Our Father which art in heaven is a God of love. The Bible says, they that have not love have not God. And God is love. And if you know God is your Father, you are a loving person. If you are a Bible-toting grouch, you don't know my Father. You're just a religious brat. When you meet God the Father, he'll introduce you to Jesus the Son, who will instantly crush your ego, your arrogance, your self-sufficiency. He'll put you on the backside of the wilderness like Moses, put you in a dungeon in Egypt, a jail. He'll put you somewhere where he can get your attention. And when you surrender all, then you can say, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Think about that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Say that with me. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because I assure you, without Jesus Christ, you will perish. Because of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden, you and I were born in sin. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Not that she was a bad woman, but he was saying original sin exists for all men. Contrary to what your mother told you, you're not perfect. It's a heartbreaking thought. When you were born on this earth, you were bound. We were all prisoners, bound by the prince of darkness, bound by the shackles of misery and habit, without God, without hope, of all men most miserable outside the covenants of Israel. Then it happened, a Jewish rabbi named Jesus of Nazareth, the Lamb of God, bled and died for your forgiveness of sin and mine. When he bowed his head and said, "It is finished," he walked into Satan's prison camp and pointed his blood-soaked finger at me and said, "I'll take that one." And he looked at you and said, "I'll take him. I'll take her. I'll take the one whose dreams have been cursed and crushed. I'll take that one that's sick, that one that's feeble, that one that's bound by drug addiction, that one that thinks there is no future. I'll take that one." And he kept pointing, because he is the deliverer. "I'll take that one." From the cross, Jesus descended into the bowels of the earth, according to the word of God. And he looked at the prince of darkness and he said, "From this day forward, when anyone comes here," remember, just a moment ago he was the Lamb of God, now he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he looks at the prince of darkness and says, "When anyone comes to your kingdom and in the authority of my name says, set their children free," you liberate them. You release the shackles. You release the bondage, because you are a defeated foe, and my family is set free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, comes when you call. Jeremiah 33, "Call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." That's what the scripture said. It actually translates "what your mind cannot compute." The Bible says the thoughts of God are higher than ours, as the heavens above the earth. As powerful as God is, he cannot answer prayers until you pray them. The initiative rests with you. People say, "I wonder when God is going to do something." God is waiting for you to call upon him. You call upon me, and then I will answer you. Think about that. Our Father which art in heaven. The Lord's Prayer is the roadmap to the unsearchable riches of God the Father. The revelation from heaven presents our Father as a God of power, of peace, of pardon for sin. He has provision for your every need. His angels protect you from the forces of evil. Our Father which art in heaven, whenever you get down and you pray that prayer, our Father, angels listen. Listen to what she's saying. That's a specific request based on the sovereignty of my word. Remember, when you hear the word and speak the word, you have God's attention. And as soon as that prayer is finished, God sends the squadrons of angels to the earth, and instantly they begin to go before you to make the crooked way straight. They defeat the enemies that are in front of you. Every door that's locked, they rip it off at the hinges so that you can walk free through. God will open the doors that are closed. No man can shut them, because the Almighty's escort is right before you. You are escorted with an angel behind you. There are angels standing around this building right now, because they are assigned to defend you. God your Father is watching out for you. Open your mouth and ask him. He's listening now.
Cannot afford to lose your everything he promised you that you'd get. Waiting on the other side of temptation, waiting on the other side of this test, is everything you've ever dreamed, everything you prayed for, everything he promised you that you'd get. So hold on and don't let go. Hold on, you just that close. Hold on and never give up. Hold on, hold on, hold on and don't let go. Hold on, cause you're just that close. Hold on and never give up. Hold on, say hold on, say it's only a matter of time, cause I can see the finish line. My victory is days away, so I'ma get ready. It's been a long time coming, but I know it's coming for sure. I got a promise from the Lord, yeah. Waiting on the other side of temptation, waiting on the other side of this test, is everything you've ever dreamed, everything you prayed for, everything he promised you.
You gotta hear before it happens, believe before it happens, receive before it happens. You got to know
it's gonna happen.
Though it seems it won't be, but God said this one's on me. I know it's hard to see, but God said this one's on me. But God said, sometimes it's hard to see, but oh God said, hold me. Gotta see it before it happens, believe before it happens, see it before it happens. You got to know. It's gonna happen. But God said, gonna happen. Oh, I swear.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Like this one on the air, let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6@gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6@gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen. And now it is time to go into our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, and we are going into Luke chapter 1, verse 19. Luke 19.
And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to shew thee these glad tidings.
All right, and one more time, Ruthie.
And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to shew thee these glad tidings.
And that is our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Luke chapter 1, verse 19, Luke chapter 1, verse 19, which tells us about how Gabriel was telling Zacharias, who is John the Baptist's father, tidings of John the Baptist's birth just before the birth of Christ.
So we find that Luke chapter 1, verse 19, our Six Eyes Bible memory verse of the week. Amen.
And for those of you out there that have been listening and may be a little too shy to join in and tell us your comments or prayer praises, whatever, on the air, you still have an option of still doing that via email, and you could do that by emailing one of two email addresses. First off, feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feelandtouchking@gmail.com, feelandtouchking@gmail.com, or 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write Wednesday night Bible study, and then whatever your prayer request, question, comment, or what have you, whatever it may be, just write it down there and then send it to us, and we will not only read it, but get back in contact with you. Amen.
7 days a week, but what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network. Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs. The Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2, F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. will be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Tribulation.
When that flame is darkened down.
tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken and the
seven vials are open
and the seven trumpets sound, read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Lesson is the bride. In this lesson, we will discuss an interesting subject which is very familiar to most believers in Christ, yet the title appears only five times in the New Testament, three of which are in connection with believers in Christ. We're going to discuss some challenging things about the bride of Christ, which possibly we've never known before. I'm sure some may be disturbed and upset at what you'll read, because you've no doubt been using the term the bride incorrectly in your Christian vocabulary. But please don't stop now. Read on and you'll see what I mean. First time the word bride is used in the New Testament is in the book of John. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy is therefore is fulfilled. John 3 and verse 29. This verse of scripture speaks of the bride and the friend of the bridegroom, who was no doubt the one who played an important part in the wedding ceremony and sometimes even conducted the various necessary negotiations between the bride and the bridegroom in ancient Old Testament weddings. Some ministers interpret this portion of scripture as meaning that the bride is the New Testament wife of Christ, while the friend of the bridegroom is the Old Testament saints. How they arrive at this conclusion, I do not know, yet it is a common teaching among many ministers. I do not teach this theory. The next mentioning in the New Testament of the word bride is in the book of Revelation. It has reference to the doom of Babylon, when the voices of the bridegroom and of the bride shall no more be heard in her. Scripture, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. Revelation 18:23. Of the five times the bride is used in the New Testament, it is used only three times in connection with believers. The word bride or bride appears again in the scriptures in the book of Revelation. Scripture, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21 and verse 2. You'll note this verse of scripture says, as a bride adorned for her husband. Says the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city, which is going to come down from God out of heaven, will be as a bride, because it will be adorned with jewels, redeem people like a bride when she meets her bridegroom on their wedding day. The saved of all ages will eventually be in the city. There will not be one group called the bride and another group called the friend of the bridegroom. God is using 7,000 years of recorded time to call out a select people for himself. So, we're thinking in terms of redeemed people, the New Jerusalem from every race, people, and nation. The word bride, again, appears in the same chapter of the book of Revelation. Scripture, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials or bowls full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Revelation 21 and verse 9. You'll note the angel is going to show John the bride. He's going to reveal who the bride is. The angel knows, and he's going to disclose the bride's identity so everybody will know who she is. Can you guess? You don't have to guess. John will tell you. He knows. Scripture, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and shewed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Revelation 21 and verse 10 in the King James Version Bible. That, my dear listener, is the bride of Christ. That great city is the bride. You've been taught it was the church. The next mentioning of the bride is in the same book. And here it says, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17, KJV. In this verse of scripture, we have a direct invitation to all mankind everywhere to be saved because the Spirit and the bride are saying to the lost, come and be saved. Oftentimes, we hear people say that only the New Testament believers are the bride of Christ. This is a common church expression, and probably 75% pastors use it, but it's not backed up by the Word of God. There's no Bible proof for this teaching. The Bible does not say the church is the bride of Christ at this time. The New Jerusalem is the bride, and housed in her will be the saved of all ages. Bride of Christ is not Israel of the Old Testament. Neither is the bride of Christ the New Testament church. Neither is the bride the whole of the present New Testament church. Did that shock you? Well, it's absolutely contrary to what most of us have been taught. The Bible says that great city, the New Jerusalem, is the bride of Christ. Don't add anything to that statement, and don't subtract anything from it. Some do, and they cloud the issue and confuse the people. Don't try to make the bride anything but that great city. May I furthermore say, the bride of Christ is not the 144,000 Jews, and it's not the tribulation saints. It's not any single individual or any special group of individuals out of the redeemed of all ages. It's not any one denomination or all the denominations combined. You see, the bride of Christ is that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, Revelation 21:10. Isn't it marvelous that we have the Word of God to set us straight? In this lesson, I'm standing right by the scriptures, even though I may be going against the spiritual grain of some of my listeners. May I say that if what you're reading conflicts violently with some of your theology, then I suggest you go back to the scriptures in the Bible and start all over again. Get a fresh start. Then, thereafter, stay right by the Word of God, regardless of denominational teaching or consensus of opinion. I've had to do that, and it wasn't easy. Yes, I thank God I discovered the truth. Praise the Lord. It is unscriptural to identify any one company of redeemed people as being exclusively the bride of Christ. Please note, John said the bride of Christ is that great city, the Holy Jerusalem. If that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, is the bride of Christ, then all who will eventually live in that great city when it comes down to the new earth to be the eternal habitation of mankind will make up the bride of Christ. The bride will not be complete until that time. That makes sense, doesn't it? But yet it sets the apple cart of some denominational preachers and old-line theologians. Some Bible teachers put the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints in different places in eternity. Word as God says, both of them will be part of the bride. The Bible teaches that all the redeemed of all ages will live in that holy city of the New Jerusalem. This isn't something new because long before the church came into being, the Old Testament saints were promised that great city, the Holy Jerusalem. Now, here's another scripture. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should offer or have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. For he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11, 8, and verse 10. The city which Abraham looked for by faith was the holy city, the New Jerusalem, the capital city of God on the new earth. Abraham will be a part of the bride because the bride is that great city, the New Jerusalem, and Abraham looked for that city by faith. If Abraham looked for it, then it stands to reason that the other Old Testament saints did likewise. It makes logical sense to understand that all the saved of all ages will be the bride of Christ and inhabitants of that great city. Why should God have peculiar little groups scattered around the new earth when he can have one great big body, the Holy Jerusalem? According to the New Testament, the only church was promised membership in the city so they could be an integral part, future part of that great city, the Holy Jerusalem. Scripture, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14, 1 through 3 in KJV. You'll note this portion of Scripture says, in my Father's house are many mansions. The word mansions is used in verse 2, while in verse 23 of the same chapter, the word abode is used, signifying that they both mean the same thing, and adding an abiding place. Verse 2 says, I go to prepare a place for you. This means a place of habitation, which as that great city. A city is a community of citizens. That's what God would have on the new earth in eternity, because the saved and all ages will be living in a community of citizens in one city, the Holy Jerusalem, Revelation 21:10. When Christ comes to the new earth after the white throne judgment, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, will come down from God out of heaven, and that time all believers of all ages will constitute the bride of Christ. It will be a prepared place, plan of habitation, where we will live throughout the countless ages of God's eternities in a community of citizens. The writer of Hebrews bears this out when he says, I'm here now. Have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Hebrews 13:14, KJV. We don't have a continuing city now. You can't find one anywhere. Everything about this present world earth is temporary. But every believer in Christ is promised a future mansion in that wonderful city of God, which will descend out of heaven, occupy its permanent place on the new earth. Scripture, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Revelation 3:12. Please note the phrase in this portion of Scripture which says, he shall go no more out. This indicates that the individual believer in Christ will become a future member of the redeemed society of the New Jerusalem. The writer of Hebrews graciously emphasizes this unbreakable promise in a most emphatic manner. Here's the scripture. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, Hebrews 12 and 23. The phrase church of the firstborn indicates that there is a permanent register of the names of all people of all ages who have lived in Christ, or believed in Christ, whether they believe on him going back to Calvary, whether they believe on him looking forward to Calvary, us, it doesn't matter. Whether you are familiar with it or not, every person who has ever been saved down through the ages has been saved through Jesus Christ. That's no other way to salvation. The book of Acts tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12, King James Version. The Bible says that the 144,000 Jews who will be marked by the angel of God will be a part of the future population of the New Jerusalem. And being a part of that great city will make them a member of the bride of Christ at this time. Scripture, and I looked and lo, an angel stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. And they sang as if it were a new song from the throne, or before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could hear that song, that 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lord, Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Revelation 14, 1 through 5. This Bible further states that the tribulation saints will be a part of the bride of Christ because they too are going to inhabit the New Jerusalem, the great city which cometh down from God out of heaven. Scripture. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar altars of souls of them that were slain from the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes, Revelation 19:8, were given unto every one of them. And it said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Revelation 6:9-11. Therefore, we must come to an intelligent conclusion when we fully realize that some of all saints in the first resurrection, from Abel to the last person who had saved in the future tribulation period, will eventually go to live in the new judgment or New Jerusalem. They are all part of the bride of Christ. Also, the people who live on the earth during the 1,000-year reign of Christ will go to take their place in that great city when it comes down to the new earth. In order to be a part of the bride, all such people will be saints of God. No one person, group of persons, denominations, combined mansion, temple, or any other building can now be called the great city, the Lamb's wife. I've heard a lot of peculiar names for denominations or churches, but I've never heard of one called the Lamb's wife, have you? Therefore, when John was shown in the book of Revelation that great city, the holy Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, was the Lamb's wife. We've heard students of the Bible call the church the bride of Christ. Technically, this is unscriptural. The church, that is the New Testament assembly of believers, will become a part of the bride when its members begin to live in the holy Jerusalem after the white throne judgment. After this present earth is destroyed, 2 Peter 3:10, and a new heaven and a new earth have been made, but all the present time they are not the bride. Scripture, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Revelation 12:1, Scripture, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. That's Isaiah 65:17. The virtue of the Lord, the Church of the New Testament will be a part of the bride of Christ, and the redeemed of all other ages will also be a part of the bride. Please read two verses of Scripture with me as we come to the close of this lesson. Scripture, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, out shooting the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me in the spirit in a great and high mountain and shewed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Revelation 21, verses 9 and 10. Please remember the bride, the wife of Christ, is the holy Jerusalem which will inhabit the earth during the day of Jehovah, that space of time commonly referred to as eternity. My heart's desire is that everyone studying will be part of the bride of Christ to know this magnificent truth and miss being part of that great city would be an inexcusable tragedy. Please remember, life is short, but eternity is never ending. Be sure you are saved. Salvation, which means you have a citizenship in the holy Jerusalem, is absolutely free and very simple to obtain. May I explain it to you through this delightful story. A group of friends went over one day to visit a very famous English church. They asked for permission to go inside, and the sexton gave them the key, saying, Take the key, and I will be along in a few moments. They went to the large, massive door, inserted the handmade key in the lock, and turned, but the door would not open. As they were tearing and twisting the key in a futile effort to open the door, the sexton arrived. We cannot get in, they explained to him. I beg your pardon, apologized the ex-sexton. I forgot to tell you the door was not locked. All you need to do is turn the knob, but you've locked it. By then, her own feverish efforts, these people shut themselves out of the church. May I tell you that the love-crowned doorway of that great city, the holy Jerusalem, has already been unlocked for you. The Bible says, Whosoever will may come in. All you need is to just turn to the Lord for the knob when walk in, Jesus said, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37, writing in his first letter, the Apostle John said, Scripture, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5:12. Do you have eternal life? Jesus said, Scripture, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 10:9. Once you enter through the door, you're saved. Then with that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descends out of heaven after the new white throne judgment. You'll be in a couple of saints who will live on the new earth forever. I urge you to start preparing now. Abraham looked for a city. Why don't you? This is now a poem called The City of Refuge. Hate made a cross for the wood of a tree. Love changed a cross to a door. Things which city a refuge we see, where we are safe evermore. There is a city of refuge for all. No need be lost or anyway. Now, God creates to welcome whoever will call and let his love lead the way. Love led the way. Love led the way. Love that built a city of refuge for me. Blinded by sin, love let me in. Love that led the way to Calvary. And the next lesson will be the beast.
This is Lynn Colliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
All right, and that is a nice time for tonight. We've had two good messages, and for those of you who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number 1, join the conversation. We'd love to hear what your questions or comments may be tonight. And Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, we always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Band of Angels, and you have you, Sister Emily, her dad, and me.
All right. Well, Emily, do you got any questions or comments tonight? Coffee, Emily.
I don't want no coffee. I'm tired.
Oh. All right. Well, you got any questions or comments tonight?
Nope. But there was a little bit of cat fighting on the gospel bus tonight.
Oh. All right.
And I'm going to cry. 6 left. I thought he was going to come in. Well, maybe he got real busy recording.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'm going to close with a word of prayer here tonight, and then we're going to be out of here tonight. But of course, me and Ruth got a little bit of, we got to head to our own studio tonight, so be prayer for that recording that we have to do. So let's go. Lord Jesus, we thank you for tonight's broadcast tonight. We ask you, Lord, for that soul who is nearest hell, that you would touch their heart right now, Lord Jesus. Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, because your word said, Lord Jesus, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then, Lord Jesus, for all those prayer requests that were made tonight, Lord Jesus, would you please honor and respect each one in its place, Lord Jesus, and have your perfect will and way, Lord Jesus, for your children's sake, Lord Jesus. And now, Lord Jesus, as we leave this place but not your presence, we ask you, Lord Jesus, bring them to the next appointed time so that we can have a good time in you here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this station. In your name we do pray, amen and amen. And we ask you all to join us tomorrow night, Jumbo Braille program, as we continue with our book, Baby Love, and by Katherine Anderson, and see how that turns out. And that's at 9 p.m. And, of course, on Friday, as Six starts his rounds with the song and poem, now that Emily's done with her turn with it, we're going to see how Six does on his first week. Does he get the good or bad buzzer? That's the question. So we appreciate you all joining us on Friday as well at 9 p.m., so join us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for the great programming, always here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. All right, so for Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, Ruth, Emily, Six, and all the gang, we're going to say God bless, good night, and we'll catch you tomorrow. God bless, everybody.
God bless and have a beauty rest.
God bless. Sweet dreams.